Well, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Hebrews. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew rack, and I wish you'd take that. And we're going to look at a couple of verses tonight that I think will be very helpful. Hebrews chapter number 3 is where we're going to start, and then we'll move ourselves back in the book of Colossians. Now, question. Do you think of yourself as an encourager? You don't have to speak out loud, but think about that a moment. I mean, would you say, hey, I think that might be one of my gifts, to be an encourager? Or you might say to yourself, you know, that's really not one of my gifts. That's not something that I am to do. Well, hear me. If you are a Christian, and I hope you are, and if you're not, I pray you will be at the end of our service tonight. If you are a Christian, God's word says you are to be an encourager. It's not like I wish God had given me that gift. True, some have a gift extraordinary in that area. But the fact of the matter is, it is in our job description. And I want to show you the verse in Hebrews chapter number 3, if you look with me. If you look in Hebrews chapter 3, and you look down in verse 13, the Bible says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. And I wish you would underline that little word, exhort one another daily. And then we'll not turn back, but you may want to write this scripture verses down in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5 in verse number 11. The Bible says we are to comfort each other. And then as Paul was writing his letter to the Thessalonians, he says, as you are now doing. That's very, very interesting. Now, I have no idea all the different translations in the room, but for example, in our verse, we're looking in Hebrews chapter 3 in verse 13. If you have a New King James or an Old King James or an English Standard Version, you're going to see the word exhort. If you have an NIV, many of you have the NIV, or the New American Standard Version, you're going to find the word encourage. And whatever translation you have, this word in the New King James that I'm looking tonight that is exhort comes from the Greek word parakaleo. And what that word means is the idea, para means alongside. You know, that's the prefix that we have for the Holy Spirit, one to come alongside of us. Kaleo, that means to speak or to console or to comfort. But when compounded, when you put the two together, it's this idea of encourage. So whether your translation says exhort or your translation says encourage, that is what the word says. That is what the word means. We are to encourage one another. This is our job description. Now, here's the bottom line. There are various and different ways you and I can be encouragers. And what I want us to do tonight is turn back in the book of Colossians, if you will. And I want us to look tonight and see in the little time that we have, if we have time, three of the different ways that we see in the book of Colossians in this letter that Paul wrote from prison to the believers in the church at Colossae. And in the letter, we learn some things about encouragement. And if you have your bulletin, you might just want to fill in some blanks. And the first one has the most blanks to fill in. And we see it in the book of Colossians. You can encourage other believers by being with them and doing what you can do to help them. You can encourage, all of us can do this. We can encourage other believers by doing what? By being with them and by doing what we can do to help them. Now, we see this in the book of Colossians, like we see it, for example, in the very first verse. As he writes to Tim, talking about Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother. So he is about to mention various people that are doing this very thing. They are encouraging one another by being with them and doing what they can for them. Of course, Paul is in prison, and while there, Timothy has been a great blessing to him. And then we see it, if you look over or look down in chapter number 4. We see, beginning with verse number 7, we see a list of names of different people that were doing this very thing. They were doing what they could, where they were, to help the Apostle Paul, and he's mentioning them. For example, in Colossians chapter 4, if you look in verse number 7, he talks about Tychicus. He says, Tychicus, my beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. He was with Paul in Rome while Paul was a prisoner. And Paul, even though he was a prisoner, as we learn in the book of Acts, in this particular time, it's like he was not in a cell. He had like a little apartment, we would say. He had some living area, a little living quarters. And Timothy was there with him to help him as he could. And then as we look down in verse number 7, we see not only Tychicus, but we go on down in this letter and we see Aristarchus in verse number 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And then we see Mark, one of Paul's key helpers. Even though at one time they had a little falling out, things got better and they restored that relationship. And Mark is another person that was being an encourager by being with Paul and by doing what he could to help him. And then you see Justus in verse number 11, a Roman Jew who had believed Paul's message. And then in verse number 12, if you look, you see Luke. He mentions Luke. Luke would be what you and I would call Paul's personal physician. Luke was a doctor, medical doctor, and he traveled with the Apostle Paul on many of his missionary journeys. And what did he do? Well, he encouraged him by being with him and doing what he could do for him. And then as you look down in verse number 15, as we move toward the very end of the chapter, you see this name. It says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Now, let me pause just a moment and say, if you have like an English Standard Version, it's talking about her house. Let me say a word about Bible translations a moment, and then I'm going to get right back what I'm talking about. There's so many different Bible translations, and I hear people from time to time say, oh, this translation is the best of all the translations. Then a new translation comes out, and someone says, a group begins to believe this is the new and the best translation. Now, first of all, there's no such thing as the best English translations. There are some that are better than others. And I would encourage you, first of all, whatever English translation that you feel like you best understand, it will have some strengths and it will have some weaknesses. And as new manuscripts are discovered and they find this in some new ones and they find this omitted. Well, the problem with that is like 10 or 20 years from now, there'll be some more manuscripts found and we'll find a little bit more about this and a little bit more about that. And I simply say to you that, whether this is this Nymphas is a male or if it's the gender is a female and whether it's his house or her house, the point is, that is not the point. The point is we have all these different people that Paul mentions in this letter that were doing what? They were with the Apostle Paul. They were doing what they could do to help him. And I'm simply saying tonight, as I think about that, and I suggest to you, as you think about people that are in their prison times, not necessarily in a jail, it could be, but there are many different things in life that are difficult. And people go through difficult things. And we can't be with everybody even every time we want to be with everybody. But as we can and as we have opportunity, nothing encourages people more than you being with them if you possibly can and doing what you can to help them. So as I think about that, I encourage you, as you think about people and opportunities that you have. And what I've learned about that is that, you know, the more I try to encourage others, it seems like it boomerangs. It works back. The Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. So if you want to be encouraged, I suggest to you tonight that you do the best you can to be an encourager. And the more you try to encourage people, and it's very simple. Sometimes it's just the ministry of being there, doing what you can, what a blessing it will be. Now, a second way you can encourage believers is by your actions and by your prayers. And I wish you'd jot that down in the bulletin. By your actions and by your prayers. Now, as we think about this book of Colossians, remember it's a letter. So the Apostle Paul encouraged the believers in the church at Colossae. First of all, his action was this letter. He sent them this letter, and that was his way of encouraging them. And as you read through this letter, there's so many different things he has to say in the letter that indeed encouraged them. But then he encouraged them not only by his action, he encouraged them by his prayers. If you look back in chapter 1, we won't go into the prayer, but in verses 9 through 14, you find one of the most beautiful prayers. And we looked last Sunday night at one of the things the Apostle Paul prayed for them, that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So what I'm saying tonight, if you want to be an encourager, it's something we all are to do. You say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. And here's a way you can. There may be an action you can take, but that may not be it at all. Maybe the way God's going to use you to encourage somebody else is by your prayers for people as they have special needs in their life. And it is a blessed, wonderful thing. So I just say tonight that wise we would all be if we said, you know, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the abilities that God's given me and the resources that God has given me, along with the opportunities that I have, and I'm going to do the best I can by my actions to be an encourager to other people. And some very practical ways to do that, I just jotted down a few things. Certainly, a phone call many times can be a great, great encouragement. One of the things I make 100% effort, I many times wind up saying what I have to say to the answering machine. But anyone that's going to be having, any of our members that's going to have surgery, I try my very best the day before their surgery to call them and to pray with them. And I wish I'd have done that 50 years ago. But that's something I've been doing for a good while. And I find it to be very encouraging to people. And many times, even after the surgery, the people will say, you just can't know how much that prayer meant to me. Another thing I try to do just on a phone, I'm saying it's very, very simple, is on the anniversary, the first anniversary of a death of an immediate family member. Now, I can't do this for aunts and uncles and cousins. I mean, I'm just limited in what I can do. But for the family, on that anniversary of their first year's anniversary, I try to reach them on the telephone and say, if my notes are correct, my records are correct, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, what went to be with the Lord a year ago today. And I want you to know I have prayed for you this morning. I pray for them before I call them. And then we have a little brief conversation. I try to pray with them again. Now, I don't always reach everybody. In that case, I just leave a message on the machine. But more important than the message on the machine is the prayer for the people. It's a very simple thing, but it's the right thing, I think, to do. And that's just one of the things we can do to be an encourager. Not only the phone, but of course we have the internet and we have texting. Well, I get, you write a letter. I try to write letters of encouragement. And then I receive letters of encouragement. And they mean, many times it'd be maybe a little card will come and just sometimes people, I'll get things that I can hardly even remember the incident. Sometimes it can be even years later. I had a text from one of our, in fact, he used to be a student in the church. He's now 29 years of age. He's grown, lives in Fort Worth. And during this past week, I've not heard from him in a while, he sent me an email and about some statement that I had made years ago. You never know what people remember. And he said that statement has helped me, but he said, you had a little saying, and I can't work it out. Would you please send me that saying? Well, I know that saying right off the top. What he was asking me, he said, you made the statement one time that you tell the staff of the church, if you want me with you on the landing, get me in on the takeoff. That's a good statement. What I'm saying by that is, if you get me with you on the takeoff, and when you land and you crash, I'll crash with you. But if you don't get me in on the takeoff and you crash, I'll just stand back and watch how that thing works out. And he said, oh, that's what, well, he wrote me back. And when he did, he said such encouraging things. And I thought, now here's a young man, 29 years of age. I remember him as a student. And years later, I get this email just out of the clear blue, telling me how I had helped him in his life. Why, it just was like spiritual adrenaline. And I'm sure he didn't have a clue that it would do a thing like that. Or just encourage somebody. Maybe you see a person, an elderly person. You could open the door. You could help them. I tell Dottie so many times we'd be going somewhere and in fact, there's this one street down on Westheimer where they have police that stop traffic. If they didn't, they'd never get the cars in and out of these parking lots. And they not only stop traffic, they stop traffic, let people cross the street. And I say, Dottie, look, I said, they see us coming. They know our age, and the guy's stopping all the traffic. And Dottie never has been very encouraged when I say that. But there's just so many little things you can do. Not long ago, there was a lady that I don't know whether she was older than me or what, but she was in the ballpark, and she was out with her grocery basket. Had a lot of groceries in this basket, and some of them were heavy things, and bless the lady's heart, she was trying to put them in the back of a car, and I went over, and first I was afraid I'd frighten her, and I said, ma'am, I started to say I'm a Baptist minister, and I figured that would frighten her, so I didn't want to say that. I should have said I'm a Methodist or Episcopalian or something. It wouldn't have been so frightening. But I said, ma'am, could I help you put those in the car? And she just thanked me. You'd have thought I had given her a new car. But how many times have I walked by and something like that, and I didn't even see it? I'm just saying there's so many little things that Christian people that you and I can do that encourage people that we might never even think. Now, one other thing. We can be an encourager to other believers by our Christian example. Boy, I wish you'd jot this one down. Now, this is how the believers in Colossae encourage Paul. He wrote this letter to encourage them. But look with me. It's very interesting. Look down in verse 9. Now here's this letter. He's writing these believers in Colossae. And he said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now let's stop a moment. Since the day we heard it, what does it stand for? What is it Paul had heard that had encouraged him? Well, it's very, very simple. If you go back up into verse 3, he said, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. You see, he was encouraged when he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. And number two, he was encouraged when he heard of their love for all the saints. And so when you come down to verse 9, it says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, he's talking about their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints. So it's a beautiful thing to encourage other people by your Christian example. You see people going through things, and you see them remain steadfast. You see people going through things, and you think, I don't know if I could handle that as well as they. But the fact that you see that, their example is an encouragement to you. Just the example that you see in the lives of others is so encouraging. Now, this weekend, students, listen at this one. I had that happen to me at the Breaking Free sessions that I came to. Your music worship leader was Chris Allen. Y'all remember Chris? Okay. Well, Chris, I checked on this today. Chris is now 38 years of age. Y'all didn't know he was that old. He tries to dress younger than he really is. But that's what he is. He's 38 years old. Now, Chris grew up in this church. I first knew Chris when he was 8 years of age, a little boy. A rascal he was. But weren't we all rascals when we were 8 years of age? Yeah. Okay. I'm back in the back of Grace Center last night and Friday night, and I'm watching old Chris, thinking about, you know, I remember Chris when he was a little boy. I remember Chris when he was saved. Wasn't he saved at Falls Creek? Chris was saved. Was he not saved at Falls Creek? He made another decision at Falls Creek. Then Chris felt God had led him to go up in the Boston area and try to reach people for Jesus. And then that kind of evolved into this Banner Hill Church, and our church is a great supporter of that work. And they're just doing a magnificent job reaching young adults, especially college-age kids that they meet in a university there. But I'm watching old Chris, and I thought, you know what? I'm so encouraged, like just seeing how he's doing, seeing his love for God, seeing his the way God's just using him to reach an age group that others maybe might not be able to reach. And I didn't get a chance to tell Chris this. I did tell him Friday night. I was proud of him. But it's more than just being proud of him. I was just so encouraged by his love for God, his love for what he's doing, his obedience to what God's called him to do. And it just encouraged me. And I'm sure that some others there that Breaking Free that remember Chris when he was younger and now see how God's using him. I'm always encouraged when I see examples of what God can do in a person's life. Now, that said, let me say this, and then we'll just wrap it up. Sometimes we all feel like we need encouragement. And maybe nobody that doesn't. It doesn't appear as encouraging us, and perhaps we're so discouraged that we don't see the examples of others, but we just feel like, I know I'm to be an encourager, but I need encouraging. I always remember that one little story. It's an interesting story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And the Bible tells us that King David, became very depressed and discouraged. And the reason was he heard that people were talking about stoning him to death. That would discourage you. You would need encouraging if you thought a group was trying to kill you. But it's a very interesting thing that David did. The Bible says, but David found strength. That word could be translated encouragement. It could be translated comfort. David found strength in the Lord his God. And so what I want to say to you tonight is this. Maybe tonight you need encouraging. Well, maybe your family will try to encourage you. Your friends try to encourage you. But I'm going to tell you what, folks. when it gets right down to the bottom line. If you're going through something hard, you're thankful for your family and your friends and people that try to encourage you. But there is an encouragement that comes from God that's like none other. Could I have an amen to that? And you know, in 2019, in four different times going through Dottie's chemo, there were four times that I needed encouragement the worst. And all four times I didn't know anything else to do. I mean, family was encouraging me and church was encouraging me, but in those four times, I found encouragement from God. And I was reminded, no matter what you go through in life, there is no encouragement like the encouragement that comes from Him. Now, having said that, I think where we mess up, we depend too much on other people to be the source of encouragement. God is the source of encouragement. He does it oftentimes through people. But let me tell you something. There's an encouragement that comes from God that will strengthen you no matter what you are going through. And Father, tonight, I don't have a way of knowing, but I would thank God even here tonight. Maybe some just need an extra word of encouragement from heaven. And God, maybe that'll come through some other people. It could come a multitude of ways. It could come from a phone call. It could come from a text or a card or whatever. But God, there's no encouragement equal to the encouragement that comes from you. And God, we'd be wise to do like King David. He encouraged himself in the strength of the Lord. God, help us when we get discouraged. First, to know that discouragement comes from the devil. Discouragement doesn't come from God. And if Satan can discourage us, at that battle he won. And so, Lord, when we feel that old feeling of discouragement come upon us, and it may be something very valid. David had a valid reason to be discouraged. The people were considering stoning him. And God, in life, there are things that are very valid that can discourage us. But God, I thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And God, help us just when we have that old feeling of discouragement. Just say, Lord God, I'm going to strengthen myself in you. And let some of those Bible promises that God has given us that we've committed to memory flood our soul. Now, Lord, tonight, perhaps some are here that need to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe some need to be saved. Maybe some who are saved need to come and make that decision public. Maybe some, God, need to come for their baptism. God, perhaps others come put their life in the church. Or God, maybe others come to pray about a need. Bless these moments of invitation. It's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.